Well, good morning, Saddleback Covenant. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Let's stand. Hey, Duke. Thumbs up. That's great to see you guys. So we're gonna start worship here, and just want to encourage you guys to take this time just to set it aside for Him. And when we get together and worship, we are exalting. Who can tell me what exalting means? This is a dialogue. Lifting up, says the guy. It's on time. So we are lifting Him up. And why are we lifting Him up? We're lifting Him up because we want to establish the right posture, the right position of ourselves relative to Him. And where is He? He is seated high. And that's who we are proclaiming today. That's who we are glorying today. So let's join our hearts this morning. Lord, we just give You this time, God. We set aside this time for You, Lord. Our goal this morning, Lord, is to touch You, is to seek Your face, is to invite the Holy Spirit and for You to be here with us, Lord God. You are always near, You are always with us, Lord, but we, in our hearts, want to open up our hearts so we can sense Your presence here this morning. And we do that, Lord, so that You can dig up dry ground and pour on us an anointing, a fresh and new anointing on us, Lord, so that when we hear this word, it will penetrate and take root in our hearts and minds. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship. Yes, we are here for You this morning, Lord, to worship You and praise You, Lord.
Let our praise be Your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for You.
Yes, we are, Lord.
And we are here for You.
Let Your breath.
Let Your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with Your life. We are here for You. We are here for You.
Open up our hearts this morning, Lord.
To You our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. To You alone are holy. Only You are worthy, God. Let Your fire fall down.
Come on, let our shout. Here we go.
Let our shout be Your anthem. Your renown fill the skies. We are here for You.
Hallelujah.
We are here for You.
We ask You to move in power, Lord.
Let Your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for You. And we are here for You.
Yes, Lord, we are. To You our hearts.
To You our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only You are worthy, God. Let Your fire fall down.
Oh, let Your fire fall down, Lord. We invite Your presence here, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Sing what? We welcome You with praise. One, two.
We welcome You with praise. We welcome You with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome You with praise. We welcome You with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome.
Let every heart,
let every heart adore. Let every soul away. Almighty God of love, be welcome.
And we welcome You.
We welcome You with praise. We welcome You with praise. Almighty. Welcome in this place.
Yes, Lord. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worthy are you this morning, Lord. The drums sound a little bit louder this morning. That's a good thing. Amen. He says we bring cymbals, clanging cymbals, whatever we have in our hands, we offer it up to him in worship. Amen. Including our voices. Amen. Lift up our gaze to you this morning, Lord. King of glory, Lord. Let's sing it together.
Lift up our gaze, be lifted up. Tell everyone how great the love. The love come down from heaven's gate. To kiss the earth with hope and grace.
Singing it.
We sing, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty.
Yes, Lord.
Lift up your hands, be lifted up. Let the redeemed declare the love, and we bow down at heaven's gate to kiss the feet of hope and grace. Sing out, Lord, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty.
Yeah, there's one.
Oh, there is one God. He is holy. There is one Lord over everything. There is one King. He is Jesus, King of glory. Strong.
There is one.
There is one God. He is holy. There is one Lord over everything. There is one King. He is Jesus, King of glory, strong and mighty. Yeah.
Sing it out. You are too.
You are the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. You are the King of glory, the Lord, strong.
You are.
You are the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. You are the King of glory, the Lord, strong.
Just the voices one more time.
You are the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. Strong and mighty.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you. Amen. Give you the glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you.
in the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
It's where there's new wine,
there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new. Jesus, bring new wine spring new wine out of me.
Jesus. That's our prayer with you, Lord, this morning, God. Make us your vessel, Lord. We honor you, we glorify you, we praise you this morning. Please be seated.
Well, welcome. This is the third consecutive outdoor meeting. You guys have made it. I want to, before you give an applause for yourself, how many seriously thought about how much they like COVID and just sleeping in on Sunday before you got here today? Can I see your hands? One, two, few in the back. There's another one, you know. Well, we're back. We're back. We're making progress. And before I get into the message this morning, I want to let you know that there is a table with a basket over there. If for those of you that would like to leave an offering, if you continue to do tithes, you know, through PayPal and the way you've been doing it, that's great. If you need to just, if you have a check and you want to leave it today, you could give it. Lee's not here, but you could give it. Are you here, Lee? Lee Munsell, back over here, or Lori, would be glad to do that. I'd like to pray, open this morning with prayer. I'd like to, I want to pray for the president, what's going on, and I'd also, but I was talking to Mark and JD before church. He just got back from 40 days of firefighting and coordinating with firefighters, and said he could be again in the middle of October. I know Oliver works at the same station, and so that's dangerous stuff. And it's not just getting burned, it's what goes in your lungs. And you know, for me, it's a bad thing on the news. Someone standing outside their home burned to the ground. But for other people, their vineyards that were generational have been destroyed, and we can make a difference in prayer and also try to put some wind in your sails for the men and women that serve. It's a hard job. I mean, have you seen the pictures of them slugging those hoses on the sides of hills and the air? And it's just a lot to consider. So before we pray, can we give the firemen a hand? Thank you. And Lord, we do. We lift up the role Mark has with the men that he leads, and Oliver, and the many firemen that we don't know, and EMTs, and all the people. Lord, we ask you that your hand of grace and mercy would be on the homes that have been destroyed, the buildings that have been destroyed. Lord, lives have been totally reconfigured because of what's happened. Some people don't have insurance. Some people, it's not just rebuilding. Some people, it's so much. Lord, I ask for your mercy and your compassion on all these situations. I thank you, Lord, that you have here in our area, Lord, that it's been safe thus far, and I thank you for that. And ask you, Lord, to continue to watch over us. In the midst of the pandemic, Lord, as it has moved around and done different things, I do lift up our president. I pray that you would touch President Trump and his wife, Lord, for your healing power, and for the senators and staff around him, Lord, and anybody else, Republican or Democrat, Lord, that has been hit by this thing. Lord, we ask for your hand. We pray that this pandemic, you can see it all, Lord. You can end it in a day. But we ask you, Lord, just that we would be postured rightly before you. And we ask for your mercy. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, good to see everybody. Also, the good news for some of you is we're trying to keep church to an hour. So, you know, I was raised Catholic, and they had a lot of different church options. And so you try to find the church with the shortest service. I found one that was 20 minutes. It was almost like a drive-through. So obviously I had some issues, don't we all? So last week, Dudley and I celebrated 48 years of marriage. And so I decided, some years I've written this, all this mushy stuff, and she just, that's not her. She doesn't, I mean, that's hard for her to take all that in. So this year I didn't. I put down, I just listed all the trips we had made together. I said, we did this. We started in Shenandoah Valley, and then we were at Disney World. The next thing you know, we were in Austin, Texas, and then we were in Colorado and Lake Placid. We started, after 48 years, you have a lot that's happened, and sometimes to recount it is worthwhile, but really hit me. It said that life is not about the trip. The trips we went on, life is about the journey. And so the 48 years is a journey. And in the midst of journey, we have all these trips. And it's kind of amazing to me. And it's all about the journey. Like, I don't know where I'll be 3 years from now. I didn't think I'd be here 5 years or 10 years ago, right here in this place doing this. The journey takes you places that you don't really know and you can't control. In the midst of that, again, we have the trips. Journeys are made up of one day at a time. Cooper and I were talking about that last night in fellowship, just how what we do today is so important because it adds up to tomorrow. A lot of times we make it a big deal. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose 100 pounds. And it's a big, big deal. Instead of say, I'm not going to eat any ice cream today, you know, or something like that. It's one day at a time. The word journal comes from journey. It's analogous. So a journal is a daily writing. It's a recount. In today's culture, that would be a blog, or that would be a ship's log at sea, or Caring Bridge is a type of journal. When someone's seriously hurt, Bill Malstead's brother Mark is on Caring Bridge right now, and people can go on there on a daily way and write a word of encouragement. So journals are important. Daily papers like the London Journal, it comes out daily, or the Milwaukee Journal. And journalism itself is a collection of essays. So journey is about the past, in the present, and it's pointed towards the future. It's a composite of who we are, and we're all in the midst of that journey. In fact, in Christ, we are referred to as sojourners. Say that big word with me. Sojourners. And it means that you're a stranger to this world. What? It means you are a stranger, and you are even a traveler. You dwell in this place for a time. In fact, you're actually legal aliens of the kingdom of God. You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. In Colossians 1, he says, "For he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." You're also called a pilgrim. Do your best John Wayne imitation and turn to somebody and say, "Howdy, pilgrim." Joe, let me hear it. Okay, that's pretty good. A pilgrim is also on a temporary residence. For a pilgrim, life is about a pilgrimage. It's a journey from birth all the way through. A lot of our challenges, and I speak for myself as well, is that we get caught up in the specifics, but you really are being taken from glory to glory. God Almighty is working in your life. That's worth an amen. Amen. As my daughter Erin used to say, nothing's wasted. The lowest times in your life, the times that you just didn't think you could put another foot in front of each other, it wasn't wasted because you saw God's grace in the midst of it. You wouldn't wish the time on your worst enemy, but it was God at work, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I want to take the journey to a vision for unity in the journey. You hear a lot about trips or vacations. Sometimes when you get back from a vacation, they say, how was it? Everybody got along so great. It was all about getting along. And sometimes they would talk about Mount Rushmore or the lakes. It was always beautiful and everything. But then it's how people get along. It's how you come back from a mission trip. How was it? It was amazing. And the kids were so supportive of each other. It was just an amazing thing to watch. So as an individual, I have a choice to be divisive in my life, or I have a chance to sow towards unity wherever I go. It is really easy to break a watch. It's difficult to put one back together. So the choice towards unity, I'm going to talk about this, it's not uniformity or unanimity necessarily. It's not groupthink, but it's united in heart, intent on one purpose. So I'd like to read from Psalm 133, the excellency of brotherly unity. Behold, can I get an echo on that? Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down to the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. The word behold appears 1,500 times in the Bible. I didn't know that until I looked it up. It means to take a serious and thoughtful look, to cease all else you are seeing, something remarkable, something impressive. It seems so easy, but do we really know how to cease from our zzzzzzzzz and behold something and take stock and give all full attention and searching gaze to what is before us? John the Baptist said, behold, look at him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Apostle John on the island of Patmos, he was there on the Lord's day and he was praying and he had a vision of the Lord. And he says, and when I saw him, when I beheld him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys to death and Hades. So dwelling together in unity is good and pleasant. I have not ever really met anybody that said they think unity is a bad idea. But I can tell you, it is really hard. It is to have unity in the things that we do in this life. When you have it, when you really have it, you step back and you behold it. I know I've talked to John and Erica. They've had their trips. Most of the trips have been really unified, but there's been trips where they weren't at first and they had to battle. And what it does is it, you get people with agendas and different things, and it cuts under this thing of that provides the good and pleasant thing that comes from the Lord. It's so easy to undercut and be disunited. And the father of that is the devil himself, who his goal is to destroy your marriage, destroy your children, destroy you, destroy your nation, destroy anything. He's a murderer and a liar and a thief and has been from the beginning, and he's an accuser. So often I'll be talking to someone and say, they're talking about how they're feeling and it's not good what they're saying and stuff. I said, so do you think that's what the Lord's saying to you? I don't know. I said, well, let's return that and see what God might say, because we get caught up in our emotions along the way. And I'm just telling us this morning that unity is worth our notice. It's much rarer than common. I always play this game. Dudley and I went out to dinner for our anniversary, and I always like to play the game with the waitress. I said, how many years do you think we've been married? And of course, she said, 21, you know. I said, no, actually, we're a little older, 27? No. She actually came in at 45, which was kind of disheartening. That's too... But we started talking. She said, wow. And she started talking about her own life was broken and there's divorce and all this stuff. How the heck did you do that? I mean, and we had a great conversation. She stood back and she said, there's two people that still like each other after 48 years. Yes, marriage is honorable. Yes, it is good. And for those of us and you or whoever who have been hit by divorce and hurt by it and all that, that's not the end of your life. It's a part of the journey that God equips you to overcome as you address God as you move forward, or we end up living, our whole life stops when something else stops that was bad. So we're all in this together. And marriage is just one part of it for many of us. When unity is there, it's like anointing oil coming from head to toe. When unity's there, blessing starts pouring out. And I don't mean just material blessing, but just well-being and peace and discernment and all that comes with God's favor. The unity of the journey is full of diversity. There's lots of strange people along the journey. Can I get an amen? Are there any strange people here? Oh, yeah. And along the journey, there's difficult circumstances. Whether it's a valley or a mountaintop, whether you're based or abounding, we're still called to unity in our hearts, to unite our hearts and lives before God. In Colossians, he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord entreats you to walk in a manner worthy a worthy manner of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Being diligent, which diligent means unity is hard work. It is vulnerable work. Sometimes pressing through a conflict is something it's the last thing that you want to do. You don't want to do it. You think it's going to be unpleasant. You don't think it's going to go anywhere. You da 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 da. But that doesn't matter what you think. You don't get the final answer on that because we're called to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Just a sidebar for me, having been in the church over 40 years, that's probably one thing I've done all these years, which has not been, you know, some people think I like to do that. How many of you think I like to deal with conflict? Uh-huh, a few of you do. I don't. But I don't see myself not having, I don't have the right not to deal with a conflict that's there that needs to be addressed. It's not about a sheriff badge. It's not about me being right and the other person being wrong. It's with humility and gentleness to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Why? Because there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one is given grace. To each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. There's one body, so we are part of an undivided body. I see all the problems in the church, whether it's our church or the church. But God sees us as one body because we have one Father and we're called by Him. And one Spirit, one Holy Spirit who is undivided. And there's one hope of our calling. Certainly your calling may be different than my calling in terms of function and things I do, but the one hope of our calling is to please Jesus and live our life for him. There's one Lord. There is no Krishna. There is no Shima. There is no anybody else. There's one Lord. Kids, where are you? There's only one God. Where are you? Raise your hands if you're a kid. Some of you adults can raise your hand too. Kids, I want you to know there is only one God. Say that with me. One God. There's not many gods. There's a bunch of fake gods, and there's a bunch of people that want to be God, but there is only one God. With Israel, he said, behold, another behold, the Lord our God is one. One Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit, three in one. This is the essence of our faith. And that the Lord, kids, the Lord loved you so much that he knew you needed to be redeemed from your sins, just as your parents needed to be redeemed. And he came and lived a perfect life and died for you on the cross and loves you. And now he's bringing you into your own journey. Who's in the second grade? Let me see your hands. Any second grade, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh back there, eighth, ninth. We'll stop there. Do you understand that you're part of a journey? You're just not some kid that goes to church. You are part of a journey, and God has his hand on you. And take it seriously. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. You know why that's in there? Because kids, young people, forget the Creator. Because you're so strong and you have such good, you just feel invincible. And I get that. Believe it or not, I was a kid. But I'm saying unity is really important. That's why it's so important to be united with your parents. Why fight them? Why yell at them? Why disagree with them? Why make home, it's always going on. Stop it, kids. Make it a point to be united. Say, that's good, Pastor Kevin. I'm brainwashing you this morning. You got it, kids. It's to your benefit to respect your parents. And parents, please, do your best to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but don't frustrate them with rules and laws and stuff on top of them. You see, we can mess it up one way or another, but there's plenty of people around you to encourage you. I mean, and some folks didn't even have a family growing up, and so their idea of family would be what they see in a movie. Or maybe they meet someone here in the church and hangs out some, but that's what a family is. But there's a lot to it. But the goal of all of that, one Lord, one God, one Father, over all and through all and in all, is his body. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I want to say that the vision of the body of Christ consists of diversity. And diversity is far more than racial diversity. It's far more than gender diversity. Do you realize that in this room, in this back parking lot, excuse me, that every one of you have a different background? Very diverse, very geographically different. We want to accentuate race and gender. That's what diversity is. But diverse, you are so diverse right now. And also, the Holy Spirit has distributed gifts to you from him. And it's very diverse. Variety of gifts, diversity of effects, it says in Corinthians 12. When you don't have unity and you have diversity, you have chaos. But when you have unity, diversity is not threatening. And it actually is like sewing something together. What do you call that? A fabric, a tapestry. So the body of Christ is more like a tapestry that flows together in unity. That's worth, good point, Kevin. Uniformity is not unity. Kids, I grew up in a school that I wore a short sleeve white shirt and a little blue tie. And I couldn't wear tennis shoes to school either. So I had to wear like Buster Brown shoes and these gray slacks. Really nerdy is what it was, you know. And because they wanted us to be in uniforms. And there's a value to a uniform, a football uniform, a military uniform. There is something that can aid in unity. But real unity is far more than this outward thing. It's something going on in our heart. So I believe that there are people that could really disagree with me about something and still be in complete unity with them. If every person has to agree with me about everything for me to have unity, then I'm sunk. He poured out the blessing. God delights in diversity. It is something to behold when it's bathed in unity. I think when I first saw that video of the blessing, that's like a 9-minute song, and the first singer comes out and he's from, we okay? We got a B? Huh? Hey! Hey, I gotta believe Jesus, when he was by the lake, had things like that happening. Flies coming around. You okay, Avery? Okay. So, the thing about unity also can be a facade. I think it's just our sinful nature. We're incredibly good at looking good most of the time. But we don't have unity. And a facade is just something in front of a house. You could have a small house with this huge facade so it looks like a mansion, but it's really not what you've got. Also, it can be mere words. United Nations, or even the United States. The word gets used a lot. But I believe we're called to preserve the unity of the Spirit wherever we go, to be in addition to where we go. Our unity is always in Christ. What joins me together with you and you with me is Christ Himself. We may have different theological views at time or different points of emphasis, but it's Christ. Burial, death, burial, and resurrection. United with Him in all we do. There's nothing outside of God's sphere. It says for we have become united with Him. If we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. Every time you go to a funeral, and you hear someone who's a Christian, and they're talking about they're not here, they're with the Lord. Do you realize that's for all of us as a believer? And do you realize we really are pilgrims? We're just here for a short term in this journey. It's a mystery. The Bible talks about it, the mystery of salvation, but it is such a brief time. He says men live 70 years, if due strength, 80. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. We're just here. And so we're to steward this life by loving Him with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. C.S. Lewis called it a two-edged character of Christian faith, Christians with bifocal vision. The world is not the way it should be. Everybody says, why in the heck is all this, that, whatever? And between creation and fall, we had sin come into the world. What the world was created to be and what it has become is not necessarily God's highest desire, but consequently, out of that, He's working redemptively in all things. He says, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I don't know how that's going to be fulfilled, but I stake my life on it. You have chosen the right thing. If you're a Christian, you have chosen to align yourself with the Creator of all things. He's got your back. He's with you. He's for you. And we are to be both world-affirming and world-denying. We're in the world, but not to be of the world. We got to get up tomorrow, go to work, or turn on the computer and go to work, or go to school. And so we're in this world, and we are sojourners, but we're also realizing that we're only here for a short time. Do you know how fast 48 years goes? I hate saying that because I hate it when people told me that when I was young. Enjoy it now, it goes so fast. Don't you hate older people doing that? My, you've grown so much. You know, I got tired of that, but you know, really, when I started writing that card, I was thinking back, boom. It goes, and then it's whatever we deposit along the way that makes this huge difference in our lives with the Lord. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. We are united with Him. Out of Him comes unity. Philippians 2, and I'm going to close here. He says, make my joy complete, being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. I love it when we're united. Those of you that are married and you've had a fight, it's no fun. Once you get through the fight and there's been forgiveness and okay, I'm sorry, doesn't it feel good when you're at peace with each other? I've had things in church at times, people are very upset about something. I don't know why, but they were. And then we're able to talk through it and listen and oh, I didn't know that, or oh, I think my attitude's off, or whatever. And we come back, and unity becomes our portion. Let's stand, if you would. Pat, you can come up. I'd like to... Now, this is a loaded question. You probably do it anyway, but I would like to raise your hand. Remember, unity does not mean you agree with everybody. But unity is an attitude of heart. Remember how many times the disciples didn't see what Jesus was doing. He said, no, Lord, don't do that. But they were still with Him, and they would follow Him anyway, or they'd do what they needed to do. So I'd like to ask you to raise your hand if you would like the Holy Spirit to help you be a unifier. Okay, hands down. I was going to ask you another question that's more treacherous. How many of you would like the Holy Spirit to help you not be a chicken? Let's raise them up again. The worst thing, conflict is not bad. It's just here. It's how we manage the conflict that comes. I don't like it. You don't like it. But we need to have unity because we need it in our church. All the church needs it. And there can be external big meetings in a park and thousands of people. And that can look unified, but it's not the same as brother to brother in a unity that's close and tight. And so I hope you can hear my heart in this. And these days we live in are marked by disunity in the culture, and in many cases in the church. I don't want to be part of that. I want to be part of what God is doing And wherever we can be redemptive. Get an amen?
Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy and holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. You open up my eyes. And show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Yes, Lord. Oh, we worship you. Are our firm foundation, God, and we trust in you, Lord. Oh, let's sing it together. I will build, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in
If you've noticed, we've got another addition over here. Give it up for Alex on the drums. Great blessing. After we close, I'm going to go over in the shade area. If there's somebody really burdened this morning that would like prayer from me, I would be glad to do that. I got my mask. See it? And I'll be right over there. I'm going to do it. If nobody comes, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure You know, in the midst of all of this time, I don't know everything each of you have gone through. We know and have friends that have lost their jobs. We know and have friends that have actually gotten COVID and been very difficult for them. And we know and have friends that have been really afraid and nervous and trying to find ground, solid ground. And this is where we get to come and be an encouragement to people. And even if we get there ourselves and feel that way, we can reach into God. So, so I'll be there. And I've asked Cade if he would do the benediction today. So can I hold that up, Cade?
Lord Jesus, I just pray for our week. Help us to use your platform to honor you. Help us going into this week. Help us start all the kids starting school. Help us to do good in school and bless this day. In your name, amen.
Amen. Give somebody an elbow bump. God bless.